Take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. God has made us to be relationship creatures, and as such, most people hate being alone. But you know, there's a real conflict when you hate people and you hate being alone, isn't there? Does anybody ever have those days where they hate people? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm making sure. I figured I wasn't the only broken one in here. And you know, it's interesting that most people do hate being alone and hate being lonely. I Googled loneliness, and in just over half a second, there were over 54,200,000 hits in less than half a second. People are lonely. And the major reason for loneliness is broken relationships. You say, well, that's great, Captain Obvious. But the biggest relationship that's broken in our world is our relationship with God. And Jesus speaks to this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Really what is going on here is the Sadducees and the Pharisees were trying to set a trap for Jesus to get him to stumble and mess up concerning the law of Moses. And since he co-authored it, I think it's kind of rough trying to trip him up. But they tried to. And Jesus answers them, as you look in Matthew 22, beginning in verse 36. And though Jesus goes on to deal with other things, we want to focus on this one point that Jesus makes here. And in this series that I'm going to start this morning, I want to call it First Things First. Verse 36, Matthew 22. Master, which is the great commandment, or the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great or greatest commandment. Verse 37, again, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you and thank you for the privilege of being in your house and with your people today. God, you know us. We are broken. We're needy. And Father, we ask that you would just come into this place today and manifest your presence. God, would you take what's being said today and let it be a blessing? Please touch and anoint me. I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I need your help and strength and grace to present this, Lord, that it be a blessing. And God, a challenge. We do pray for those that are needing today that have all various kinds of needs. We pray for Melody Young and her family with stage 4 cancer. I pray that you would help Medford with his knee surgery to recover. Others, Father, and we thank you for those that are here. Even if they don't feel well, they were able to come out today. We're grateful for that. God, would you just use this, we pray. God, teach us about loving you and putting you first. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Gang members often join the most violent gangs to find a sense of family. Women often give themselves to abusers because they believe that they are loved by the one handing out the abuse. 40 years ago, the term Stockholm Syndrome was coined at the end of a 6-day bank siege, where they found, strangely enough, that victims of the kidnapping hostage situation actually developed a warped attachment, even affection, for their captors. And the truth of the matter is, some people are so miserable in their relationships that they actually are in not just bad relationships, but deadly relationships, and are trying to embrace it, when in fact, that's not what God has for them. This message this morning is not on that by itself, but to point out that we are hungry for relationships. Now, I do not want you going and looking for them, but there are apps on your phone that you can get. It's one of the leading apps in New York City where young people are using to get overnight hookups for sex. That's all. No connection. You know, there's groups out there, you know, Simply Lunch or whatever, where they go out and have lunch. There's no connection. There's nothing sexual about it. But these apps are designed for the sole purpose of young people hooking up for one-night stands. And the problem with it is it does not help or even satisfy the longing. It only exasperates the brokenness and causes more pain and more anguish, because God has created us to be relationship creatures. Say amen. And He wants you and me to have relationships. It's not that He doesn't. It's not that God doesn't want you to be happy. It's not that God is this gray-haired grouch sitting up in heaven swinging lightning bolts and everybody He doesn't like or He gets mad. Neither is He a wayward grandfather that's asleep on the throne and doesn't hear or know your pain. God knows what's going on. But the world's problem today is people are looking for love in all the wrong places, if I can quote a country song. Just out of curiosity, I just wanted to do research, and the number changes every day. But a fellow yesterday by the name of William Scott, he had the current record for the most Facebook friends at 6,223 friends. It's interesting, Oxford University professor Robin Dunbar, he conducted a study of social groupings throughout centuries, from the Neolithic villages to modern office environments. Here's what he found out, and what he came up with in the 90s was called the Dunbar number. It asserts that the size of the part of the brain used for conscious thought and language, the neocortex, limits us to manage no more than around 150 friends or acquaintances, no matter how sociable we are. So you can have 6,000 on Facebook, but you can only manage or really get your hands around, and that's if you've really got it all going, about 150. I don't know what you do with 150 friends anyway. Now on Facebook, I've got several, but that doesn't mean they're real close friends. Some of them I just went to school with. Some were just acquaintances. Some were friends of friends. It's interesting that we have a deep hunger for relationship, so much so that there's an addiction to Facebook on some people where they can't go for more than a few minutes without checking Facebook to see if somebody likes them or not. There's a brokenness about us, folks. And the thing is, what we don't realize, what we're really hungry for, is a relationship with God. And people don't get it. And the hard thing to get is that the Bible tells us that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God created us for relationship, but the first relationship He created was between man and Himself. Every day the Bible teaches us God and Adam would go for a walk, as it were. He would go down with Adam and they would fellowship. Could you imagine what it must have been like to fellowship with God? How cool would that be? Well, all you got to be is a Christian and you'll get it. How cool is it when God moves in your heart, moves in a service, moves in your home, moves in your life? But could you imagine every day having a relationship where you went for a walk with God every day and you just talked back and forth like friends? How cool would that be? But did you know that's what God wants? And that's why God made you? God made you to have a relationship with Him. And though over the course of the next few weeks, Lord willing, we'll talk about other relationships, the first one that we need to get right is that we love God more than anything or anyone else. And I'll chat about this at another time, but if I'm going to be the best husband that I can be for Connie Sue, I've got to have the right relationship with God. And I can tell you this, if the bubble's not right where it ought to be with God, it can't be right in my relationship with her either. And too many couples think it's their relationship or they're married to the wrong person, when truly the problem is they've got their priorities in the wrong order. They've got everything before God in their marriage and wonder why their marriage is constantly struggling or on the rocks. I'll save that for another message, but I will say this. Just because you love God doesn't mean you won't have relationship issues. But our primary thing we need to focus on is our relationship with God. How's yours today? How's your relationship with Him? Is it what it ought to be? Well, let me give you the measure, as it were, of what it ought to be. Because Jesus laid it out for us in verse 37. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Interesting. The word ought to sound a little familiar. In the Greek, it's cardia. Like cardiac? That's the Greek word. And to the Greeks, when you use that word, it meant the seat of grief and joy. The seat of perception and conscience. It's the sphere of divine influence. The seat of intention and purpose. Religion presents an outward show without a genuine inward passion. And God nailed that, and Jesus spoke to it when He told the Jewish people, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Where's your heart this morning? Is it out there somewhere? Is it on the job? Is it on something else? Let me tell you something. God wants time for you and me to talk to Him, to walk with Him, to fellowship with Him. And by the way, that goes way beyond merely saying grace at Wendy's before you eat your double steak. It goes way beyond you just whispering a prayer before you go to bed or you go into an important meeting. It goes way beyond that. Listen, God is not a fire escape hanging on the end of the building that you only run to when you're in trouble. He ought to be the main course through the main part of your house of your life that you visit with Him, walk with Him, talk with Him, and fellowship with Him every day. And if you've got a God box and you only allow Him to have part of you on Sunday, or if you stretch it to Wednesday night, oh, God forbid for some folk, that's asking too much. But let me tell you something, that is not what God wants from you. Isn't it amazing? We want God to be able to do everything, but we want Him to stay in His box until we need Him. We want Him to work in our lives the way we want Him to work. And help Him if He ever steps out. We'll get mad. We'll throw a little temper tantrum. We'll just throw a fit and show God. Listen, I know people who won't go to church because they got mad at God. Because God didn't give them a blankie. Didn't do what they wanted God to do. God is not walking around to be your JCPenney catalog in the sky. He is not there to do what you want. He is the potter and we are the clay. We keep forgetting that. You know what God wants? God wants our heart. He wants our heart. When you make a decision, do you just merely casually mention God or do you even talk to Him? Biggest financial mistakes I ever made in my life, I didn't really pray about. Here's how the average church member thinks it's in God's will. Well, I went to the car dealer. They had the car I wanted. I went to the bank and they gave me the payment I wanted. God must be in it. Can I say from practical experience? The Greek word for it would be moros, but that's pretty stupid. It's not necessarily God's will because everything falls into place that you want to do. How about asking God if He wants you to do it to start with? A lot of times what we do when we make say, thank God that He is a God of grace. That when we do stupid with extra zeros on the end of it, that God often will rescue us and forgive us when we come to Him and say, God, I'm sorry, I didn't talk to you first. How many besides me has ever made that mistake? Raise your hand. Thank you, God. The way you're looking at me, I thought, you're going, that preacher's evil. He's so dumb. You got to help me out, man. If you don't say amen, we'll be here a long time. I have to roam my own. Takes longer. Listen, so God, in this relationship thing He has with us, He wants your heart. The religious elect around that were surrounding Jesus, oh, they had it together, man. They had the right robes. They had the right words. Oh, they could say amazing grace if they'd had it in that day without looking at the book. They had it all together.
Reminded me of a joke where this Catholic boy went to church with this Baptist boy, and Catholic boy said, "Now I'll go, but you won't make me look stupid. I won't know what's going on." He said, "No problem." So they get into church, and the song leader gets up. He opens his songbook, and he goes like that, and the boy knows it and says, "What does that mean?" He said, "It means stand up." So he stands up, and they sing, and the song leader goes, he said, "What does that mean?" He said, "It means sit down." He goes, "Well, that's not bad." So the preacher took off his watch. He leaned over. He said, "What does that mean?" He said, "It don't mean nothing." Thank you. Let me tell you something. There ought to be a passion involved when putting God first. This woman should never doubt that I love her. And have you or I ever given reason for God to doubt that we love Him? Be very careful about this, because, again, the primary relationship that you and I got to get right is our relationship with God. If it's out of whack, it will affect all other relationships. Don't get me wrong, there's some people out there you can look at, and man, they look like they got it all together, and they're little Mr. and Miss Atheist. They say they don't even believe in God. Man, their life looks perfect. That's on the outside. But I'm here to tell you that God designed you and me to have a relationship with Him. And when it's not there, something's missing. It was one of the Puritan forefathers that said, there's a God-shaped hole in every heart, and only Christ can fill it. Bud, who recently gave his life to Jesus, was there an emptiness in your life, Bud? Did Jesus fill it? I'm telling you, it's real. It's not pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. It's a reality that Jesus Christ still is in the business of saving and forgiving men, women, boys, and girls, even today. It's about relationship. How's yours with God today? Do you love Him with all your heart? When's the last time you told Him you did? Oh, He knows. Try that with your wife for a while.
Who?
Thank you, Brian. Brian, I hate to tell you this. You missed Tiki last week. But, Lord willing, he'll be back next Sunday, okay? Hey, he chuckled. The rest of you did too. Because you know that's not a good idea. But you know, listen to me. There's some times in this life where your preacher gets so busy that I realize it's been a while since me and Jesus had a face-to-face and a heart-to-heart. And you may never know it, but I'm going to tell you this. If I go long enough without having face-to-face and heart-to-heart with Jesus, you'll know it soon enough. It'll come down the pike. You'll realize it sooner or later and say, hey, there's something off there. Something wrong there. Because God created you and me to be the best that we can be in Him. Not in ourselves. Not in our own talent. Not in our own giftedness. But in Him. In Christ alone, do we find the sole height of our being and our worth and who God made us to be. This world is out there, wants to crush and kill you and use you. This sick society would use our children and toss them away like garbage in a heartbeat. But not our God. Our God has a plan and has a purpose and a privilege for every one of us. From the youngest to the oldest. Miss Ella, I've asked you before recently, is God done with you yet?
No.
He's not done with you. We look at any bit here and we say, well, God didn't even hardly started with her. You ought to watch her try to sing. She's up here trying to sing Amazing Grace. She's lipping. You say, how cool is that? I'm here to tell you that God speaks baby talk, and don't think He can't reach a child. Jesus said, suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And as we look at God, we ask the question this morning, and I ask you, and I ask myself, do I love Him with all my heart? All of it. Peter, speaking to the ladies of his day, said this. Basically, and it's not in a condemnation, but listen to what he said. Let not your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Ladies, the relationship that you need, that you long after, that unconditional love, is not out there in some big stud out there on a dance floor that you're tucking dollar bills into his drawstrings. I'm telling you where it is. It's in Jesus Christ. And you think that's funny? Let me tell you, there's Christians that went and saw the movies about that. There's two of them made about a guy. That's what he did, made his living. And Christian folks plopped their tails down, paid money to watch it. You may laugh at it when it's brought up, but I'm telling you, it ain't so funny. If you've been doing it because people are looking for that and they think that'll bring them satisfaction, I'm telling you, it will not. It will not. Jesus Christ loves you, ladies. Absolutely. And unconditionally. Fellas, you looking for respect? Jesus Christ is the source of real respect for your manhood and who He called you to be. And God wants to use people, and He doesn't want people to use people. But people do. You see, there's something else Jesus said, that we're to love Him with our heart, but also look what it said. It said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. The Greek word for that is psuche. And what it means is, it means the seat of your personality. That's the real you. Lana, you're a special young lady. You're tough as a pine knot. And you're sharp as a tack. That's a compliment. She'll pay me back later if it's not. She's one of the first ones I interacted with at this church. She had a turkey on her table where she's sitting to eat, and I reached over like I was going to grab it. She let me know right away, that was not my turkey. I'm going to tell you something, Sonia. Lana gets sold out for Jesus. I'm going to tell you this. Nobody's going to buy that girl cheap. Do you hear me? Jesus loves you, Lana. And you're an amazing person. I mean that. And all these kids in this room are amazing. Bryson, you're amazing. Bethany, you're amazing. All of you. All of you. You're amazing. You're not an accident. You're a divine appointment waiting to happen. God has a plan for you, and He wants you with all that you are, all of you, you, the real you, the soul of you, you, to love Him. The reason I joke about that, and I've said, made this comment before, she's going to make somebody a wonderful wife. Because, buddy, she just lays that to me. Does she? She's, that's a compliment. I'll pay for it later, but it's a compliment. She lays out the way it is. Do you think that's going to change? No. You know why? Because that's the way God has wired her, and that's the basic her. That's who she is as a person. And if you think about it, no matter how old you are, Miss Ella, I will guarantee you, there's some things that you remember about that you cared for when you were a child that you still like today. Is that true? You're the same person. This, just the package has changed a little bit, but you're still the same little Ella that your mama held in her arms. You're the same person. And that's who God wants. He wants you. He doesn't want some religious actor. He wants you. Even though you are messed up. And you roll your toothpaste. For a dozen years, I ain't been able to convert her, so I've just given up. Hear me. Hear me. When it says in there that you're to love Him with all your soul, that means the you. The you, right here in you. That's what God wants. It's the seat of the will and purpose. In Ephesians 6, it says this, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Do what you do for Him from here. Don't worry about what people think or say. Do what you're supposed to do for God. Amen. Then He said a third thing. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Some people think that when you become a Christian, you've got to check your brain at the door. That's not true. The number of scientists who also are followers of Christ is amazing. It's just that God in His wisdom, sometimes He chooses to use simple people. Thank God. Jennifer, I don't have a PhD. You know why? I never could figure out why I needed a FUD. Thank you for getting that. Now, I would like to have my doctorate. I'd like to have my earned degree. I would, but it just, at this point in life, it just hadn't happened yet. Doesn't mean I won't. You'll see me in something, being pushed across in a wheelchair. This man's 114 years old. He's got his doctorate. And I'll be going, woohoo! That's not what God had for me at this time in my life. But if He has that for you, that's fine. But all that you are in your mind, your heart, your soul, do you love God? I mean, does He have control of the whole you? Not just the outward package, not just who people see in church, but does He have you? You see, this mind, it comes from the Greek word dianoia. And it means the seat of thinking and understanding, the seat of meditation and reflection. In Colossians it says this, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Peter said this to believers. He said, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you love Him with your mind? Have you ever tried to think who God is? How big He is and where He goes? Your mind just does one of these, doesn't it? You can't. But He's all that, but I'm telling you, He's more. And the thing that is amazing in all that, He has time to help you find a parking place in the rain when you're sick. What kind of God does that? I'm going to tell you the kind that loves you and cares about you, cares about the details in your life. Why and how do we love Him? Well, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Yes, we are to love Him. He not only gives us the ability to love Him, He'll draw us to Him if we'll listen and pay attention. He's drawing somebody right now. How does He do it? Through His Word, through other believers. You were invited to church today because somebody cared about you. And let me tell you something. God cares deeper than any human being for you, even your own mother. As a matter of fact, the psalmist David said, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I know people who are basically, their parents were no-shows. They almost ended up raising themselves and then into foster care and on and beyond. But listen, God can make something of that life that's given to them, that heart, that soul, that mind that surrenders to them. You say, Chip, how do you do that? In childlike faith, you come to God and say, God, I'll be your child. I believe Jesus died for me and rose from the dead, and I want Him to come into my heart and life and to be my Savior. He said that if we trusted Him, He would. He would. One of the stories I really like in the Old Testament is Hosea. Now, his wife had a weird name, okay?
We think of it as some name for a bubble, but her name was Gomer. You say, I'd have trouble if my wife was named Gomer too. You have no idea the trouble Hosea had. He was deeply, madly in love with this woman. To say she was unfaithful to him would be an understatement. She not only left him for another man, she left him for other men. And the Bible says, thank you. The Bible says that what happened was Hosea went and found her in the middle of her working as a prostitute and took her and rescued her and brought her back in love. And it was a picture of what God does to us. We've been unfaithful. We've had other gods in our lives, other things that have taken the place of God. And yet God reaches out and He comes and gets us off the slave market of sin, and He paid the price with His Son to rescue you, because you matter to Him. And to bring you, to shepherd you into the flock and bring you home, because He's crazy about you. God loves you so much. He not only rescued, Hosea not only rescued his wife, he not only went and removed her from that hellhole that she was living herself and she chose to go to. He forgave her and he remarried her and he restored her as his bride. And God restores all the pains of our past, the heartaches from broken relationships, struggles from defeat, and the frustration of our lives, all the times we felt broken beyond repair. God has promised to restore. God is in the business of restoring His children into beautiful works of holiness in Him. And He's not done with you. Do you love Him? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I hope. Say, what about you, preacher? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I try to tell him that on a regular basis. You say, well, doesn't he already know? We already talked about that. Tell him. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed, your eyes closed? Years ago, there was a bumper sticker that was so messed up. And you still see it occasionally on people's cars. It says, God is my co-pilot. Let me tell you something. If God is your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. You better trade seats. You better put Him in charge. Now, the only heart that I know in this building is my own. And occasionally it even tries to play tricks on me. But have you looked at your heart this morning? And as you pray with me, would you ask yourself the following question? Do I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind? Father, as we bow together in prayer, I come before You and bring Your people before You and this crowd before You. And God, I love You so much. You know my heart. I want to be the man You want me to be. I want to be the husband You want me to be. I want to be the father and grandfather You want me to be. I want to be the pastor You want me to be. And God, I know You're still working on me, but Lord, I am trusting You, and I love You with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and I ask You, oh God, that You'd help me to stay on track. God, do not get pulled aside by the things in this world that try to distract me. Now, God, I come and I bring my people before You, and I ask You, as these that are standing here are saying, yes, Lord, yes, I love You. Oh, God, I pray that You would help that one who's struggling to say those words today, because they know that their relationship is not what it ought to be between them and You. And, God, You are an honest God and a gracious God. You said if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, if there's one here who has trusted You as Savior, but they've strayed off, God, please let them know it's time to come home. That you're waiting for them, God, and it's time to come home. To simply confess, God, I've not been where I ought to be since I made that decision for you, and I want to be right with you. Please forgive me. I believe He will. His Word says He will, and I believe it. God, I pray for that one here who's never trusted you as Savior, that they would do so and they would find that God-shaped spot in their heart filled by you. Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your Word. Now, before I finish this prayer, while every head is bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking, is there anyone that would say, Preacher, would you please remember me in prayer? I want to love the Lord with all my heart, and He knows that. Would you pray for me, Preacher? Would you slip your hand up, put it right back down? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Then maybe you're here and you say, Preacher, I've got some struggles between me and God right now, and I just appreciate you. Remember me in prayer. If that's you, would you slip your hand up, put it right back down? Amen. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Some struggles. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you. I pray for these that raise their hands, that God, they have a deep desire to honor you with their lives. And today, they want to recommit themselves to you. And they are saying in their heart and mind, God, I recommit myself to you as your child. And I want to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. And God, I give you me new and afresh. And to others who are struggling, God, I pray that you would help them to see that you got this. And Father, we thank you for your Word and your presence in this place today. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? I'm going to ask our ushers to come. We'll take our Nashville Rescue Mission offering before we dismiss this morning. And again, this is for the Nashville Rescue Mission. For every $2 and I think 56 cents that you can share, the soul will not only get a hot meal and a place to sleep, they'll hear the Word of God. Bob, would you ask the blessing? Yes.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for letting us be here this morning, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you take this offering and use it, Lord. Whatever needs necessary, Lord, I pray that it is for the hungry, Lord, and our